Welcome back to this week's episode of A Chronicles of a Feral Wife. We missed last week's episode. We actually prioritized family over taking the time to set up our little mock studio, edit, and get it posted because it was New Year's and we had opportunity to see all my siblings throughout the weekend, and we just made that our priority, so family will always come first for us, which is kind of funny because...
And we didn't want to rush content either, so...
We wanted to have quality content. Yeah, which is so true, but it's kind of funny that we prioritize family when right now trending on TikTok is our red flag situations.
The problems that we've faced.
With in-laws. But this week, we want to talk about our age gap and who we were before we met, specifically in 2008, before the year before we would have met each other, and kind of where we were at. Because a lot of people like to talk about how could an 18 and a 34-year-old cross paths? What was the interest in there? But really, I think a good idea of who we were helps kind of tie some of that together.
Yeah, it was certainly an unexpected meeting.
So yeah.
I'll say it that way.
So in 2008, I was 17, and I didn't meet Mike until 2019, just to clarify for all of you out there.
2009.
In 2009. So in 2008, I turned 18 in December, but I moved out of my dad's house in June of that year and moved to the town that we live in now. So my dad got married in June of that year, and I knew for my dad to have that marriage work that I could not live at home without bashing heads with my dad and really bashing heads with my stepmom. I don't get along with my stepmom. Too many alpha beings in the house. I am so the carbon copy of my father personality wise, and he and I butted heads throughout my entire middle school, high school.
And you were looking out for his best interest.
And I really was. But I was a selfish too. Like, I knew it was my scapegoat out. Like, I gotta go. You gotta let me go. And if you don't, I'm gonna make your new marriage a living hell.
Without making him choose, you just... Here you go.
Yeah.
Here's your gift.
It is. I actually should grab the letter that he made me sign. I have it in my desk drawer of when I did move out, because I was 17 when I moved out, and he chose to not call the sheriff on me. He did actually call and talk to his friend who was a sheriff, and they did say, hey, you could, you know, call and report her as a runaway. We could force her back home. But at the end of the day, if you do that, is she going to run away again? Is it going to make your relationship worse? So my dad pretty much said that he loved me and that he was there if I needed a place to come home to, that it his door was always open, but he was Rome. And when I was home, he was Caesar, and it was his rules or not. Like, bottom line, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. So I decided at that point.
Castle, my rules.
Yeah. Come hell or high water, I was gonna make it work by moving out at 17. And actually, I'm gonna, later on in life, I talked to a mom, and that was mom of a gal I went to school with. And so many mothers had so many negative things to say about the way that my father raised me, and had such an opinion about how my dad raised me and how he gave me such a long leash and how he gave me the opportunity to fail in a safe environment, that they were so judgmental with how it was. But this had to be like, 5 years after I'd moved out and was making it on my own. I drove the 2013 Boss Mustang up to this area, and the gal had the audacity, she had had a few glasses of wine, to tell me that she was so surprised that where I was at in my life, because she and this other group of moms were certain that I was going to end up drug addicted prostitute, because I moved out at 17. So
That's a reach.
It is a reach. And I...
Talked about, but never to.
Yeah, talked about, but never to. And she did eventually tell me that, but I was...
when we were selling her a horse, wasn't
it? We were selling her a horse. Yeah. I was trying not to give so much detail, because I have no idea who's going to eventually listen to these podcasts.
Talking about where they think you're going to end up being, and then they're purchasing a high-end item from you.
Right.
It's pretty funny. Just seeing, we thought you were going to be here, but you're...
But you're there. Oh, and look at the nice car you're driving.
How'd you do that? Oh.
And the homes you own. And I remember I kind of...
We may have been wrong.
Yeah, we may have been wrong. And I kind of clapped back because I was like, so how's your daughter's student debt?
Ouch.
I know. Should I be worried that this isn't even popping up on the green?
I hope not.
Are you sure? Because it like...
No.
Okay. We're still new to this podcasting thing, and because he was in a band.
We're going to replay it. Oh, there I am.
I know. There you are there, but...
Well, we'll find out.
Yeah. Oh, well. We'll figure it out. If not, then we'll have to film another podcast.
We'll have to redo it again.
Which I feel like we were only getting better. So, I talked about the first tally of my 2008. I moved out as a minor, moved into my own place with my then very toxic boyfriend who... My little sister won't even film TikTok content talking about what it was like being my little sister while I started seeing Mike and her thought process on it, because she has such a negative experience from how toxic and bad that relationship I left was. And I was kind of stuck in this like in between that I haven't even talked about, that she doesn't even want to talk about it because she has such bad like traumas from how evil my ex was to me in this time. So
yeah, it was funny. And I always thought that she liked him more than me because she always was a bit apprehensive, but that's just kind of her style anyway.
It's just her style. So, like, I moved in with this very toxic relationship that I thought at the time was great. You know, I had my rose-colored glasses on, and I was
gonna take on the world.
I mean, I'm going to take on the world every day I get out of bed and put my pants on. So there's no difference in that, but... moving out, that was the first part of where I was before we met and who I was. And you, I feel like the important thing to talk about who you were at that point in 2008 was that you were a full-time dad.
Yeah, I was just, I was establishing my landing. It was the longest that I had been here. I had come here twice before, had moved here in mid-90s and then 99 to 2000. And then this was the third time. It's like, okay, got to make it stick. And this time I had my kids with me, and it was a big deal.
And in 2008, you actually were, like, single parenting, too, because you...
ended a longer-term relationship with someone that, you know, decent person, more of a business partner, we'll put it that way.
Don't say that, because we're business partners.
Well, no, but...
Well, yeah.
I was in music at that time, and they were promoters. But anyhow,
again, we're still
but they
business
became
partners.
But they became a business after I was a business. So, anyhow, moving on.
So you were a full-time dad.
So yeah,
was
getting
a
out of
dad.
I think it was like a six or eight year relationship.
It
would have
been a six because of your daughter's age.
6 year relationship, yeah, and was just getting going to school. Sorry, I'm trying to get used to this and not naming things.
Bleep!
But going to school, just started going there, so that was a new venture for me. I was a couple years into my new role as now a manager of a ranch that was a large-scale ranch. I grew up poor in apartments, so...
But back to 2008 and being a full-time dad.
So, yeah.
Because you just jumped through all three of your little bullet points. We're focused on you being a dad.
Just me being a dad.
Like, that's the big factor in 2008. You weren't dating anyone seriously.
No.
You had primary custody of both your
kids.
Both kids,
yeah. Just seeing them off to school. I was making dinners best I could. Box dinners, canned vegetables, you know. I was trying to at least have... You know, a main course, couple sides, maybe. I was trying my best to.
And considering where you come from with your mom,
it's a to me, my biggest priority was just being there, being dad, being present.
And considering that your mom wasn't the motherly type of getting up and making you breakfasts, making you school lunch, making you dinner, tucking you into bed, you were working, you were like, again,
trying to figure
so
it out.
Going back to like me moving out from dad and being like, hey, I'm going to make it on my own after having
a course correction.
Yeah, having someone who was really great with giving me a really safe place to fail and land versus you who had like no parenting, really no structure and like none of that atmosphere of home cooked meals and
well,
like,
Gen X
from being from your mom. So the fact that in 2008 you were single parenting it, and why are we getting that feedback? That you were single parenting it and attempting to do the best you could with what you had in the way you were making home cooked meals and whatnot. So like that alone is just pretty epic. Because
yeah, I wanted to provide my kids the best. At that point, I knew how. It's funny. For the guys out there, if you think child support is expensive, just raise your kids. Just raise your kids. Because you'll see where the dollars go. You'll
as
get to see how much.
As a single father raises kids.
You'll get
not
to see. You'll get to
girlfriend.
See how much. You'll get to see how much you actually spend, and how those dollars get stretched out, and why so many people start complaining about da 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 da. But honestly.
And back up, just for all the people that are going to come out here and be like, well, you were probably getting child support from the moms.
No,
he never did. He paid for round-trip flights for both his kids to go back and come home to see their moms. And he never asked them to pay for it. And that until I started dating him, and I'm like, whoa. Like,
well, my daughter was 3 times a year. And
So you sent your son back at least twice, and your daughter, at one point it was 4 because it was Thanksgiving, Christmas, spring break, and summer. And
no, daughter was 3 times. It was alternating.
Okay, but that got changed because
Christmas, Thanksgiving.
No, it was alternating. I don't remember
then,
that.
Yeah, it was spring break, and yeah, it was a crazy schedule. It was basically any free moment that my daughter had, so I didn't get those. The only time I had my children was when they were supposed to be structured, when you're going to school, when you're getting your homework done, when you got to brush your teeth, when you got to make your bed, when you have to do all those things, getting to do the trips, getting to do the visits and travel and stuff like that. I really wasn't able to do that except for put them on an airplane to go visit their other parent.
And I gotta be the evil mean one who put a stop to that and say mom can pay for the flight back, dad you can pay for the flight home.
Well,
it took my voice of reasoning to get
the big argument was when
we're not talking about the big arguments on those.
Yeah, yeah.
We're focused on 2008
because we'll oh,
otherwise okay. This podcast will turn into like a six hour thing,
right?
So back to So we've covered the kids very well. And
yeah, I was a single dad in it, making sure kids were up and off to school, clothed in nice clothes, wearing nice shoes, all the stuff, you know, wearing the braces when they were ready to wear the braces, going, you know, doing everything that a parent I thought should be doing for a kid. So that's what I was doing there. And then besides that, I always held gainful employment. I was very responsible
at
my job.
Okay, so you keep jumping around
talking about them. So it's just the kids. I thought we were done talking about the kids.
Oh, we're just jumping back and forth on now back to working full time. You just ramrod things.
I don't know what you want me to talk about next, woman.
We're getting used to this whole podcasting thing. That's why we have bullet points on our little whiteboard. So that you
I
talked about that. So no, you're supposed to rotate back and forth.
Work school full time dad. I hit him.
I know. It was great. I'm so glad that you're the way you are.
Thing podcast over. I'm a microwave. I'm out of here.
Sometimes I just want to strangle you, even if it means it's going to get aired as
I believe
part
it
of
most
our
of the time. And I think you enjoy trying to strangle me. We have stories for that too.
I can't
We have stories for our stories. It's fun.
We do. So 2008, I've moved out. I'm living with a toxic.
Speaking of segues.
Yeah, speaking of, let's back on track here, Michael. Back on track. So 2008, moved out. Oh, I was going to, I'll go grab the, I should have let you keep rolling and I should have gone and grabbed that little letter that Dad made me sign, but we'll go back to there. So it's interesting to think about and to talk about now as an adult, because I look back, it was really hard to get a full-time job at 17 while living on your own, because naturally, like, you're supposed to still be in school, and I was done with high school at that point, and you're supposed to be still living with your parents, but I was living on my own. So there was, like, this... Oh, I hate when I swallow like that on the mic and I can hear it, because I know it, you just heard it. So there's just this weird, like, 6 months where I wasn't 18 yet, that jobs were a pain in the ass to get. And I get it, because nowadays I would probably not hire a 17-year-old for any of our jobs where I put them on as a W-2. One, because it would be a 17-year-old in 2024. And two, because the liability of hiring a minor with that, there's just that level of risk that as a business owner I wouldn't be interested in taking. It would take someone really special to fill that. But I did finally get my first W-2 job, which I was so thankful to get, because I hated the nanny roles that I was having to fill, because of course as a 17-year-old, it's easy to get babysitting jobs and get paid way under your value. So finally getting my first W-2 job, it was phenomenal. I loved working. I loved being able to have a full-time job. It wasn't like my ideal job, but it was my first job living on my own and feeling like I was actually making ends meet. And this wasn't my first job that I had where I was a W-2 employee, but it's just different when you're living on your own as your own, like, adult in this scenario. And so
complaining about taxes and how am I going to make ends meet. And
no, it was interesting balancing like work life school drama with that, because I remember my ex that I was with, he worked for the school and was going to school full time. So for him, he worked and went to school Monday through Friday. But when I turned 18, I really started emphasizing work on evenings and weekends and going to school Monday through Friday, like during the day, so that I could have a full time job and go to school full time and really focusing on like leveling up. Like I wanted to, that transition between being young and naive and poor and figuring out like what I didn't want to live in an apartment living for long. Like I wanted a farm and I wanted horses and I wanted this life that really drove me to be okay with going to school full time and working 40 to 60 hours a week doing.
Fill the time with your plan rather than just playing on the weekends and going back and complaining about what you have to do.
Yeah, so just like even at that point, I was realizing that the guy I was with, he and I had two very different like goals in life. He was really content just coasting and kind of being supported by his parents, because his parents were a doctor and a nurse, and so they were there to bail him out whenever he needed.
He was kind of hitting his peak.
I don't know, because I don't know anything about him anymore. But that's kind of funny.
He was proud of his vehicle. He was.
Oh my gosh, can we not talk about that person?
He should have been proud of where he was, but he was capable of messing it up very well, and he did so.
Yeah, he did. But that's fine, because you won in the end. God, I hope he doesn't watch this podcast. Anyways.
Really care less.
I know you could. I just.
He knows where to find us.
Anyways, so back to whatever I was just talking about.
That's why I would teach tech school. I'm more of a hands-on teacher.
Oh my God, stop it. So work for me as a 17-year-old coming into an 18-year-old. Because this also goes into how I managed to go from in December of 2008 turning 18 and getting full-time employment to
cracking myself up, sorry.
You are so spiteful sometimes. Anyways.
I'm a child.
Yes. Because you were raised by spiteful visuals. Anyways.
IQ, low EQ.
Okay. So, the whole idea of where I was, especially in that relationship with, like, this is where I'm going in life. Like, you got to understand my personality and how I just rub most people the wrong way, which is fine. And I'm dealing with that. And I really just don't give a shit. But.
High EQ.
So from the time that I started working full time and being in school, and at this point thinking that I was going to go and apply to med school, between December and I met you in April or May. What's that, Labor Day weekend or Memorial Day weekend? What is that in May? Is that May?
Yeah, that would be May.
May. Okay, so between December and
is that when you
early May
brought the application to the?
It would have been early May. It would have been 2 weeks before that show that I drove your great uncle to. So between December and May, I leveled up in my career where I got my CNA, which is a certified nurse's assistant, and I had actually started working in geriatrics, and that's kind of where I wanted to go in life, because my plans and my intentions were that I wanted to go to med school and go into geriatric healthcare, because I have an older father and I was drawn to that. I really can relate, and I love spending time with older generations and hearing stories and really learning from that group and that culture. So that's what I wanted to do. And so in that 6 months time span of turning 18 and going to work for your great aunt and uncle, my job and my scholastics was just going. I was go, 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 go. And really, I had this drive and intensity to go to med school, and I had this ambition that, before applying to med school, I wanted to make sure that I had X amount of hours worked in healthcare, specifically in caregiving for people that were in nursing homes or private caregiving, for your great uncle, so that I could apply to med school with this abundance amount of letter of recommendations from people in the industry that said, she's not just capable, but she's passionate about this. Because at the end of the day, when you're trying to get into med school, that kind of stuff really matters. Your resume is going to matter. So that's where my brain was at that point. And
real world experience and having, someone with a little bit of pull having.
Yeah. So that's just kind of where I was in 2008. And we can highlight a little bit more. Well, I'm actually surprised we never crossed paths at school.
Yeah.
In 2008, what year were you? So here's the
2008, let's see. I would have been just... Really, I think I would have been freshman.
So I was a junior because I graduated with my AA.
Yeah, no.
So I was freshman 2 years
just getting
ahead of
going because I had moved here 06, established my first year residency, and I think I had started taking classes at the end of 07 for winter quarter.
So you and
fall,
I didn't cross
for fall quarter.
You know, that's funny.
And so that's when I was taking my breadth classes and intro and all that crud.
So. That's funny. I wrote a paper for him in high school.
She'd have been an upperclassman.
I was an upperclassman, do you? 14 years of being together. We just now learned that in college, we went to the same college. I was technically an upperclassman from him.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's real. Yeah, I was just really going back to school just to see kind of what it was.
And because your aunt required it as part of your employment.
Well, I had boasted about it for many years and saying, I just really wish I could go to college and I had someone that would work around my schedule, because I'd kind of reached the pinnacle of what I thought my tech school teachings until. Yeah. Still using tech school to this day.
Yeah. Sorry. Anyways, don't ask me how I feel about
four-year
college degrees.
The four-year garment on the side of the wall.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So
should I talk about what I was working or my schooling?
Well, no, I love that we just discovered that our
school didn't really overlap.
And that's why. Because I've actually never thought about that until just now. Why didn't
we
overlap?
I'd been taking all my liberal arts classes and stuff like that.
And I was already
just intro
focused
until
on...
I went into my mechanical stuff further on.
And I was already focused on pre-med.
Yeah.
That's why.
So we'd have been in different buildings.
Way different buildings. Way and way different classes. But I did write a paper for him in college, which is who cares at this point if anyone knows about
that.
That
was a history class.
And I remember taking that class and I remember writing that paper and I remember
zipping it up for
you.
Well, because it was an online class and I did not do well with online.
You don't do well with writing papers.
No, I can write a paper fine so long as I have an example. No,
yeah.
I can write.
Okay.
What? Tell me a tribute that I haven't gotten correct.
Yeah. I think you're a much better editor.
I can coin terms. I can edit.
Well, okay. So I think you're...
Well, now we're going back into high school English, where as a sophomore, I received the highest testing scores in the school for English.
I just love how you got so arrogant and cocky over that thought process. Good
no,
for you.
No, I
want to
let people know that I've worked hard for my education for a long time.
And I guarantee you so many people are judging that you're sitting here being forced to do a podcast with your wife going, that schmuck.
I know.
So you really give two shits what people really think at the end of the day on this?
Well,
I mean, Joe Rogan doesn't even give a shit what people comment and say about his podcast when he talked about this like a few weeks ago where he's like, I don't give a shit that people thought that podcast was boring.
No,
I did it for me.
The post and ghost and all that, yeah.
Yeah. So like, who cares?
No, it was funny. Yeah. College was just one of those cross off the checklist.
I'm going to put this on pause really fast and grab that little piece of paper.
Okay.
So I'll be right back.
Oh my gosh. You have it right there. You are your father's daughter.
I am my father's daughter because it makes me so happy.
Having a piece of paper from underneath stacks of paper that, yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to read you the whole thing because it gives a little bit too much detail to my life, but I will probably scan this in and like put this up on the screen so you guys can in fact see that this was quite literally
written. There were expectations.
There were expectations. So this was signed June 6th of 2008 between myself, my father, my brother, and my youngest sister as witnesses so that my father could hold me through this. And it is a full...
Wait, you're... So we were kind of getting, I was being made aware of your presence. And
no, June 6, 2008.
So this
was the year before.
The year before.
So this is the full little piece of paper. My father has such beautiful handwriting. I feel like some people are going to be like, wow, his handwriting is so amazing.
He did have beautiful writing.
So there is two paragraphs before this. It says Jessica and agreement between Jessica blank and Earl blank, and then it says on this date June 6th, 2008, and then it goes into our little agreement
because he knew how to write law.
And then the very last paragraph, the third one, says if Jessica fails to comply with this agreement, she understands that her father will exercise his legal right to have her returned to his home by the blank county sheriff's office, where she will remain at least until her 18th birthday on December 11th, 2008. Signed, Jessica blank, daughter, Earl blank, father, witnesses, sibling, and sibling.
Here is your leash. Stay in your yard.
And if you don't follow through with what you agree to,
I will pull the leash back into my yard.
Yeah. So I actually genuinely love love this piece of paper so much, and this agreement that's made between him and I.
Because your dad gave you the freedom.
He did. With expectations.
He only ever wanted your best outcome in life.
He really did. I mean, this is completely not unreasonable, and he had every legal right to coin me as a runaway and have me drug home.
If you gotta do it your way, do it the right way.
Yeah. And so we had this agreement and I followed through with it, and I don't know. I think he knew that was enough to get me
keep
to
you busy.
Well, no, not keep me busy, but to hold me accountable to being a good human. If I'm going to do it my way, then be a good human about it. Or, like, the thing that he liked to say and that you like to say that you said about your kids, which I feel like you got from me, but if you can't be good, don't get caught. So when my dad would say that to me, and kind of the whole point of that is, especially because I was such a wild child in my teens, if I wasn't getting caught, then I was probably not a teen pregnancy. And I probably wasn't landing myself in jail, and I wasn't in the hospital bleeding out. So that was just a really good thing to live by. And that was just the next level for him, because technically, legally, he was still responsible for me at 17. Like at the end of the day.
Yeah, it would have came back on him.
It could have come back on him depending on what occurred if I would have gone off the rails.
Yeah, I took that phrase and twisted it just a little bit. I put my flavor on it. I said, told my kids, be good, and if you can't be good, be smart. So if you get yourself, basically, don't get into situations, but if you get yourself in a situation, find your way out of the situation before it becomes a situation. Situations.
Just gonna leave it at that and not even chime in on that. Maybe you needed an agreement.
Yeah.
I'm so
mean. No, it was the day before the 18th. Ah. So.
Anyway, that's so true. I forgot about that, but yeah.
Nothing I could do.
Yeah. So, gosh, that was just who we were before we met each other, and how, which will lead us into next week episode. Next week's episode on how we met and kind of that just scenario around that. But just, God, that piece of, I knew there was a reason that God put that piece of paper back in my life, because I stumbled upon that back at the homestead. I remember finding that.
That makes sense of your expectations before we had met.
Mm-hmm. Like that alone.
You're on your own.
Yeah, that alone defines and describes how and why at 18 when we met, I was so bullheaded and...
And he was still raising your sister at home.
Yeah, my little sister was still living at home. And, yeah. With a stepmom that... I'll put it this way. With a stepmom that was phenomenal for me to watch and learn from and understand that I would never be that type of stepmom. Hmm. I think that's the nicest way I could put it.
Hear you. Well, we've restarted some traditions that had ended. And
yeah. And when we go down to Arizona to see our condo, and I have reached out to her, she's always too busy to find time to see us. So there's that. I no longer try in that realm. But there we have it, folks. That's who we were. Pretty much the, like I'd say, 8 months leading up to, no, almost a year.
We were already motivated people.
Yeah, we were already very motivated
people.
We were
both high motor, high function people.
Very high function, very high.
With both with different levels of responsibility, but both with lots of responsibility on their shoulders.
Yeah, chosen responsibility. Because you could have said, no, I don't want to be a full-time dad. I don't want to be a full-time single dad. You could have opted out and been like, no.
I could have done like a lot of guys and just, how much is the check?
So many men are like that. Because so many men don't realize that they actually have the ability to fight for what they want. If they want to fight it, it just takes a set of balls and you had it. You have them.
Muy grande huevos.
Then there's going to be all these women that get on here and go, see, you need to be worried. You're going to be the third one that loses custody of her kids. Gag me.
I think the court would start going, this seems to be interesting. Because the court was actually involved in the second one. The first one was just, here, you take them.
Yeah.
I've taught them all I know how to teach them. You take them now.
That is not how that went down, but if you want to paint it that way.
That's pretty well how it went.
That is not how that went. We can save that for a different podcast, though.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to sit here and argue with you on that one.
I was and am a good dad. So
100%. There's no doubt about it. But anyways, that's a different podcast.
I'm
different.
Just hardline, that's all.
No, I think you don't understand where I'm coming from on what my thought is on there.
Probably not. I'm off my own la la land 90% of the time.
Kind of. That's a very male trait of yours.
I think that's just
men.
Males.
Yeah, in general. All right, folks. I feel like this was such an unfiltered podcast because the last two I've been trying to be like so not poo-poo on you when you irritate me on here. And I'm just going to let us roll with me being like, you're not following the bullet points.
She's so irritated with me.
We're not following the bullet points on the whiteboard. Like, what are you doing?
Well, see, that's the thing. She's the hard instructions. And I'm just like, we just... keep moving forward, keep moving forward, keep moving forward. And that's why.
That's
again,
why your driving style sucks.
That's hilarious. Coming from Miss Daisy over here.
Yeah.
Can you keep an even speed? Can you modulate the gas
pedal? That's what cruise control is made for.
I think that cruise control learned from you, because even that's shakier than I am.
Oh my God. So I am learning to relax into this whole idea of really sitting down and exposing ourselves, and not just a 90 to 120 second clip on the old Tiki Talk. Why is this being so
I think
buzzy?
It's the headphones.
Better be the headphones. Hopefully our sound is good. Otherwise, bummer on us. But it'd be fun to record this episode again, because I feel like we did a good job.
Yeah.
In talking about what we want to talk about. Next week, barring that we don't have anything come up family-wise over the weekend, we will be talking about how we met and how I pestered this man into getting into his pants.
That's literally what the hell.
In the meantime, enjoy your week, folks, and we will see you next week. Have a great one.
Bye.
Mike likes to say he has a great one. He just wishes it was bigger. All right. Bye, folks.